The scripture text for our message today is found in the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 13. It reads like this: "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Now, in reading the Word of God, it is always important to see to whom each particular portion is addressed. For instance, this epistle. It was not addressed to the inhabitants of Ephesus generally, but as we read in verse 1 of chapter 1, it was addressed to the saints and faithful brethren. That is, those who had trusted Christ as their Savior and been accepted in Him before God and are thus constituted saints. They're made holy in Christ. As brethren, those who are born of God and become His children and consequently constitute what is known as the brethren in Christ Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul writes to these. First of all, he reminds them of what they were before they were saved. And then he proceeds to instruct them as to the blessings that are theirs now, having been saved by His grace through faith, as we read in the same chapter. He instructs them as to their blessing now as redeemed ones, saved, made nigh, accepted in the Beloved. Now, this is what really a Christian is. What he was and what he is, we wish to consider. Now, we do not become Christians by being born of Christian parents. And we're not Christians simply because we live in a so-called Christian land. We're not Christians because we are religiously educated, nor because we may attend some place of religious service. We're not Christians because we are associated with a true child of God. No, dear friend, we only become Christians by having to do with Christ, as we see in this verse, having to do with His precious atoning blood. We need to be born again. Whatever may have been our previous history or character, it is absolutely essential that if we're to be a Christian, we must be reconciled to God, brought nigh to God, and that by the blood of Christ. Now, we would like to consider this verse three parts. First, in reference to the state of these Ephesians before they receive the gospel. And secondly, we would like to consider their present standing before God after they receive the gospel. And third, we would like to consider the ground upon which they received this blessing. And in so doing, I trust that every listener today will seek to hear the voice of God to his own soul. That if you, dear friend, are still far from God, you might realize where you're heading. You might see the blessing that you may have and will have if you turn to Christ and find the blessed assurance based on a sure foundation that is certain and eternal. First of all, notice what these Ephesians were before they received the gospel. This verse tells us they were far off. This is true indeed of all the human race. Man, naturally, coming into this world, is found at a distance from God. It's true of all. For all, we like sheep have gone astray. Adam himself, when he sinned, he and his wife hid themselves from the Lord. Cain, likewise, we read, he went out from the presence of the Lord. And what did he do? Well, he sought simply to gratify himself and to build a civilization apart from God. He did not one God. Is not this the character of the world today and of the people in the world? Man's condition because of birth, being conceived in sin, shapen in iniquity. He's born a sinner away from God. And then his habits, his life, show that he's far from God. And all his pursuits, whatever they might be, are not directed toward God at all. All are at a distance from God. He's not happy in God's presence. He would rather be far off. It's the story of the prodigal. It's the story of the whole human race. It's your story, my dear friend. And if you have not yet received the gospel like the Ephesians, it still tells what is true of you now. Now, the Ephesians were no doubt very highly polished. They had a civilization. They had an education. They had fashions. They had honors that they sought. They had wealth and patronage that they were seeking, but all in the world. They were seeking everything that was contrary to God. Perhaps they didn't realize it, but they were shaping their whole course after the dictates of Satan. This is what we read in this first part of this chapter. According to the prince of the power of the air. Perhaps you've never thought of that. Man doesn't usually think of it. Satan has him so deceived because man hasn't believed the gospel and been set free. Man thinks he's doing his own will, but he's really being dictated to and following Satan's power. Oh, dear friend, just as the Ephesians, they ate and they drank, they slept, they lived as if there were no God at all. And they were perhaps among the most civilized and polished and benevolent of their age. And they weren't as outwardly immoral as the Corinthians, but nevertheless, they were without God. This was their condition. They were in the world, they were of the world, they were far from God. This is the character of the world today. This is true of you if you've not been born again. And I want you to notice the distinct difference between the spirit of the world and the spirit of true Christianity. I say true Christianity, the Christianity of the Bible, not what Christianity has become as mere profession today, that which the Lord is going to spew out of his mouth. But true Christianity is that which finds its only joy in God and in God's presence. Contrary to that, the spirit of the world is that which endeavors to be happy apart from God. It doesn't want God. It seeks its pleasures away from him. Those of the world do not think and act and according to being under the eye of God. No, they don't consider God. You know that to be true. This is the world away from God. The world doesn't know his love and doesn't desire it. The world doesn't live for his glory, lives only for self. The world is only thinking of the advancement of man's interests. He's only thinking, the unsaved man, the worldly man, of the cultivation of human intellect, not of the truth of God. Man in his sins and the world away from God is thinking only of the exaltation of man's natural abilities and seeking to find rest and satisfaction all apart from God. Now, this is what the world is made up of. Now, is not this true? Is it not so? And are you still there? Is pleasure or sport or science or fame or accumulation of money, are these the things that absorb your life, dear friend? This is the course of the world. It's the far-off country. This is where the Ephesians were before they were saved. This is where you are if you're not saved. Far off. And you know, Adam, when he sinned, was was in a state of fear. He said, I was afraid. That's why he hid himself. Sin is what has produced the fear. Fear of what? Fear of death. Oh, perhaps not possibly the physical fear, the physical suffering, but you know that after death comes the judgment. God has given you a consciousness of sin, and you're going to meet Him. Fear of judgment. All this accompanies those in the far off country. Why? Because they don't know God. They haven't been brought to peace. They don't know forgiveness. They don't love His presence. Oh, dear friend, the Lord, in His goodness, desires you to be brought to where the Ephesians were brought. We read now in Christ Jesus. We consider the second point, what they became, the blessings that were theirs, how many there are. And this is true of every believer. Of the Ephesians we read, in whom also ye trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. What happened? We read in this verse, we see them in Christ Jesus, first of all, and second, made nigh by the blood of Christ. This is the position of every believer. And if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, and you realize that you were far from Him, and there was a time when you came to Him in repentance and accepted Him as your Savior, you were brought nigh to God. In Christ, accepted before God, and by the blood of Christ, made nigh. And this is your present possession of blessing. Now, this word now, now in Christ Jesus, every word in the Word of God is important. Now. And you have no fear of death. Why? Because Christ has been victorious over death. And in His death you have died. And you pass from death to life. You have no fear of judgment. Why? Because the judgment that you deserved, He bore on the cross. He exhausted that judgment. Oh, how wonderful to realize this. And instead of being afraid of God, you rejoice in God. He's the spring of your life and peace that you have. This is what the Ephesians had. This is the blessings that were theirs. They're the blessings of all who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And instead of enmity toward God and a shrinking from His presence, oh, the wonderful love of God has melted your heart as it melted theirs. God, who is rich in mercy and for His great love wherewith He loved us, the hardness of the heart is melted by the contemplation of Emmanuel's cross. God with us, seen in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on Calvary, giving up His life in love. Why? That His blood might be shed, that you might be brought nigh to God. That what was between you and God should be removed, and that you should be reconciled to God and brought into a state of friendship. What is the ground for this? We are made nigh by the blood of Christ. This is the ground of the blessing. Now, it is not our efforts. It's not our devotedness. It's not our attainments. It's not what we do. It's not of works, we read in the same chapter, lest any man should boast. But it is by the blood of Christ. We see here salvation already accomplished. We are made nigh. Dear friend, the work has been done. And you know, it is not to His incarnation that we are directed here. It's not to His life as lived here in perfection. It's not Himself as an example to follow that brings you nigh to God, not at all. It is by His death, by His cross, by His blood that you are made nigh. There is no other way. It is only here that a guilty sinner can meet a holy God and be blessed. And be blessed with what? We read in the first chapter that these Ephesians had redemption through his blood, deliverance from sin and Satan and hell and death and judgment, set free, purchased to belong to this one who loved you and gave himself for you. Forgiveness of sins they had, and so does every believer since. Forgiveness of all sins through the blood of Christ. That's the only basis that you can have forgiveness. You cannot mend your own account. You cannot wipe your slate clean, but the blood of Christ can. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive forgiveness of sins. Justified by his blood. To be justified means to be cleared from every charge of guilt and to be made right before God. This is what you need. The Ephesians were not right with God. They were away from God. They had enmity in their heart against God, and so do you if you're not saved. But by the blood of Christ, you can be justified. Justified from all things, cleared from all guilt, and made right before a holy God. Also, we know in Scripture that by the blood of Christ we are sanctified to God. That means set apart to God. You belong to him, and he sets you apart for himself to enjoy his fellowship and also to be employed in his service, as it were. Because the love that saves us puts us in the most dignified place as servants, to worship him, which is perhaps the highest form of service, indeed, and then to make him known to others. This is what the blood of Christ does. It sets us apart to God. It consecrates us to his service. Oh, dear friend, how wonderful it is, then, that we read of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who, as these Ephesians, saved by grace through faith, not of themselves, but by the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We read, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, I trust that what we've had today might arouse each believer to it with a desire to turn to this epistle and read it, and in dependence upon the Spirit of God who indwells you, to learn more of the blessedness of what it means to be made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then to any who know not this blessing, who are still strangers to grace and to God, and you're still in a far country, oh, dear friend, you need not remain there. You can be made nigh to God. You can be redeemed. You can be forgiven. You can be brought into God's presence to have all fear of death and judgment removed and to be at peace and to have positive joy in God. This is what he desires for you. This is why we have this program, that you might know of him and of his salvation for you. Will you not today turn to him in simple faith and repentance? He'll receive you. Oh, it's vain and empty to seek this blessing anywhere else. There is no salvation apart from him and his precious blood. God grant that today, like the Ephesians, having heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you will believe. And believe means to accept and to trust him who suffered for you, died, rose again, and who lives to receive you. May the Lord bless his word to every listener.